In the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, with the appearance of Antichrist, there's going to be a season of peace. Remember, the nations that will gather to attack the Jewish state of Israel do that during a time when the Jews are dwelling safely in the land. And that, of course, will come about because the Antichrist will confirm peace agreements between the Jewish people and their neighbors, their enemies, and so there will be a peace, howbeit short-term, howbeit pseudo-peace, that the Antichrist will establish. It's during that time that there will be two witnesses that will preach. Go to chapter 11 of the book of Revelation, and we'll start to study about these two witnesses. Now, these are going to be events that happen soon after the beginning of the tribulation period, and of course, the clock starts ticking on the 7-year period of time when the Antichrist does confirm that peace treaty that we have been talking about. In Revelation chapter 11 and verse 3, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." By the way, look at that number of days, 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days. That is half of the 7-year period of time. But by the way, those are not Christian calendar days. Those would be Jewish calendar days. You see, the Jewish calendar has only 360 days in it. The Jews have 12 months of 30 days a month. They're on a lunar system, and thus they would have these 1,260 days. You could multiply 365 times 7 and then divide it by 2, and you would not come up with 1,260. The only way you could do that is multiply 360 days times 7 and then divide it by 2. And you'll get 1,260 days. Another evidence that the focus is on the Jewish people during the 7-year tribulation period, not even a Christian calendar used during that time, as it's talking about the period of time when the judgments will take place here on the earth. Well, these two witnesses are going to be able to witness for 3.5 years, half of that 7-year period of time, 1,260 days. Now, these two witnesses are going to be well protected as they are involved in preaching. Look at verse 4. "These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth, and if any man would hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouths and devoureth their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this matter be killed." That is amazing. They will be protected for this 3.5-year period of preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 says that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached during the 7-year period of time. In this first 3.5 years, it will be the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is that which, when Jesus Christ came, he told his disciples and John the Baptist to preach, preach that the kingdom was coming, and preach that the resurrected Jesus Christ is the one that they must trust in his death, his burial, and resurrection to be prepared for that kingdom. Well, these two witnesses will have the opportunity to be protected during the time that they are preaching, and they'll be headquartered on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem. Not only will they be protected, but their power will be unbelievable. Verse 6, "These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with all the plagues as often as they will." If there is indeed a purpose for presenting and displaying this power to the world, these two witnesses will have it available and to accomplish what God would have them to do as they're reaching the world with the gospel message, the gospel of the kingdom, which at the end of the 7-year tribulation period will culminate with the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 7 talks about what is going to happen, the persecution that will follow. "And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them," this is verse 7, "and shall overcome them and kill them." Notice what's going to happen now. "And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of that great city, which is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, which also is where our Lord was crucified." That's the city of Jerusalem. And so these two witnesses, killed after 3.5 years of ministry, laying in the streets of Jerusalem, they lay there, and everybody on earth sees them during the 3.5 days that they lay there in the streets of Jerusalem. Verse 8, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city Jerusalem. Verse 9, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into graves. I often talk about the fact that during this time, there's going to be partying going on across the world. It's going to be a dead party, and they're going to send gifts one to another, dead gifts or something like that. Notice what it says here now in verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Well, after 3.5 days, amazingly, they're going to be resurrected from the dead. Verse 11, and after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon all them which saw this. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, notice here's the phrase, come up hither. Remember, that's what was said in the book of Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, come up hither. Indeed, the rapture of the church. And they ascended into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Two witnesses that will preach during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. There's much speculation as to who the two witnesses are. I have an idea as to who I believe they are. We'll look at that in just a moment. But let me show you a very interesting concept that maybe you've never considered before. The fact is, these two witnesses, and any witness, in fact, gives testimony of what he or she has seen. Go with me to Luke chapter 24 just a moment. The book of Luke chapter 24 is dealing with the time of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 1, talking about on the first day of the week when the ladies, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and the Mary of Mary and Martha come to the location where Jesus Christ had been buried for the purpose of anointing his body with the spices. Verse 2, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, notice this, two men stood by them, shining in their garments. Isn't that an interesting thought? Two men stood there by the gravesite, and indeed there was no Jesus Christ in that grave. The stone had been rolled away. It was open. It's unbelievable what had happened. And these two men witnessed what took place. They had witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now let me show you something else that goes along this line. The book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 is the record of that 40-day period of time after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when he would have taught his disciples about things to come, prophecy, teaching going into the minds of the disciples who are going to be used to reach around the world with the gospel message. Now, he concludes all of that teaching by telling them to wait there in Jerusalem for the power that is going to make them witnesses unto all of the world, starting in Jerusalem, going to Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is Acts chapter 1. Notice verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, this is the ascension of Jesus Christ, notice now, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you unto heaven, shall so come again in like manner. Two men witnessing the ascension of Christ into the heavenlies. And what did they say? He is coming back the same way. Might I suggest to you that these are the two witnesses of the book of Revelation chapter 11, two men who saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they could give testimony that he was alive as he said he would be. And indeed, because he had resurrected from the dead, he was who he said he was and could do what he said he would do, give eternal life to all of those who come unto him. And then they witnessed the ascension of Christ into the heavenlies, and they gave testimony as he had gone away, so he should come again one day. Two witnesses of the resurrection and the ascension of Christ into the heavenlies. That will be the message that they will be preaching during this period of time. Let me tell you who I believe these two witnesses are. The Bible talks about, for sure, one of them, and even gives his name, and we know that he has to be one of the witnesses. In the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, in chapter 4, the last chapter, and almost the last verse, this will be the last words that God gives to humankind before a 400-year period of time, mostly silent, and then bringing in, of course, the coming of Jesus Christ with Matthew chapter 1, born as a babe in a manger in the fields there in Bethlehem, the shepherd's fields. Now notice, if you will, Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and the great and dreadful day of the Lord. You know, John the Baptist could have been the one who fulfilled this promise. Matthew chapter 11, it says, Jesus Christ being quoted, he indeed was capable of fulfilling the promise, but the Jewish people rejected him. Thus, an Elijah must come. So one of these two witnesses, I would suggest to you, has to be Elijah. Quickly, go back to the 5th chapter of the book of Genesis, and let me tell you who I believe the second of the two witnesses will be. This is a genealogy in chapter 5 of the book of Genesis. You know, you can learn a lot from studying genealogies. Look here in verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. Now verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I would suggest that the two witnesses would be, number one, Elijah from Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, and now the one talked about by Moses in the book of Genesis chapter 5, where it talks about in verse 24, Enoch walking with God. He walked on the earth, and then he walked right into the heavenlies. These two men have never died. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. These two men will come back, one a Gentile, one a Jew, reaching out to the Gentiles and the Jews that will remain on the earth with the gospel message. Jesus Christ died, he was buried, he resurrected, and Jesus Christ ascended into the heavenlies, and he is coming again. The two witnesses that will be in ministry in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Let's go back now to the book of Revelation and go over to chapter 7, because a product of the witnessing and preaching of these two witnesses will be, number one, the salvation, the evangelization of 144,000 male virgin Jews. Now, I'll tell you how I come to the terminology male virgin Jews as we study the scriptures together. But go here to chapter 7. It gives us the number, and in fact, it gives us the tribes from which they come. Verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed. The Bible talks about earlier in chapter 7 that these will be sealed that God has brought to him for the purpose of evangelizing across the entire world during this 7-year tribulation period. And in fact, the judgments, according to verse 3 of Revelation chapter 7, cannot begin until these servants are sealed. Verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. 144,000 male virgin Jews I talk about. When I say male virgin Jews, I get that from a parallel passage in the book of Revelation, chapter 14. It describes who these 144,000 are going to be. I want to remind you, and it's evident right now as we go all over the place in the book of Revelation, that it does not unfold numerically, but instead chronologically. We see as we look here in verse 1 of chapter 14, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, that would be the city of Jerusalem, and with him 144,000, having their father's name written in their foreheads. Indeed, they will be sealed, remember, so that no one can harm them during their ministry. Verse 3, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne. Verse 4, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They will be 144,000 male virgin Jews that will travel across the world preaching the gospel. Why will they be male virgin Jews? Well, first of all, they will be those who are going to be in ministry, preaching the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, and the coming kingdom that Jesus Christ would come to set up. That's the message they will be giving. That is the gospel of the kingdom. Again, Matthew 24:14 says every single person on earth is going to hear that message before Jesus Christ comes back and have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, there is one exception I must remind you quickly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 to 12 says that anybody left after the rapture of the church who has heard the gospel, understood the gospel, and rejected the gospel that they might be saved, God will send a strong delusion. He will blind them so that they believe the lie of Satan and they accept the Antichrist. That's the reason that Jewish people will accept a Gentile, the Antichrist, to be their true Messiah. How could a Gentile be the Jewish Messiah? Because those that will reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God will cause them to believe the lie of Satan, and they will believe that he is the one who is the Messiah. But these 144,000 male virgin Jews, now they'll go preaching the gospel, and the reason they're virgin, they will not have the opportunity nor time to have a family, to be involved with raising their children, to have a wife that would cause them some what of a burden, but they have only 7 years to get this gospel message out, and they must do it as quickly as possible because the time will be very, very short. The two witnesses preach, 144,000 male virgin Jews get saved, they go across the world preaching the gospel, and it is during that time that indeed many will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Though there will be those who have rejected the love of the truth that they might be saved, 2 Thessalonians 2, they will not be able to be saved, but there will be a number who will be saved. Chapter 7 and verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all the nations and the kindreds and the people and the tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. A number will be saved with the ministry of these two witnesses and the 144,000 male virgin Jews.